This Friday and Saturday will be a kirtan concert with Manga Alandanda. Manga Alandanda is on the line. And hello, welcome to WLRN.
Hello, thank you for having me, Michael.
Now I'm having such trouble. Yes?
I was going to say the name, Manga Alandanda.
I have such trouble with your name. Do you come across that a lot?
Yeah, of course.
That's not your birth name, is it?
It was a name given me by my spiritual teachers in India.
And kirtan concerts is a spiritual concert.
Yeah, kirtan is K-I-R-T-A-N. Kirtan is a really ancient art form from the Indian tradition of chanting these divine mantras. A mantra is a revealed sound formula. It's actually a name of the divine. And chanting these mantras is very healing and uplifting and empowering and very joyful. And it's caught on like crazy in the West in the past few years. It's been going in India for literally centuries and centuries. Now it's very popular in the West. I travel all over the world, and I play big festivals in Europe and America. And people are just crazy over it because it's a very participatory event, very community-centered event where it's call and response. The leader sings. And then people sing back what he's saying, and we have musical instruments and everything. So it's becoming very popular now.
When did you first get exposed to kirtan music?
I first went to India when I was just 19 years old, back in 1973. But in 72, though, I started practicing yoga under the guidance of Swami Satchidananda, who later founded the Indigo Yoga Institute, and started doing kirtan then. So it's been a part of my practice for, a long time, 100 years or so.
It seemed to have really affected your life, this yoga practice, so much so that you changed your name.
Yeah. When I first started, I met Swami Satchidananda back in the 70s, I stumbled into a lecture at a college campus, and I realized this is not something you just add to your life. It's a whole lifestyle. So I was very influenced by that, and I really dove into it. And I lived in ashrams and even some monasteries and things most of my life. And I lived 12 years in India. I helped start a school in India at one of my guru's ashrams. and lived there for 12 years. Still very connected. I go back every year to India.
You lived in India for 12 years. What was your plan? What was your intention?
Actually, I went there never to come back. I went there, I was invited to be a part of this project, founding a school in a little village. And I've been living in an ashram for many years in America, and I thought, this is really what I want to do. So I went with the idea of basically staying in India. I helped found the school. It was extremely successful, had a huge impact on these very poor village children. Beautiful, beautiful project, and it's still running. In fact, that's what these concerts are for, to raise money for this school. And we founded it in 2001, and in 2007, it was based on donations because we didn't receive government funds because we wanted to have the freedom to have it as an experimental, spiritually based school as well as a regular school that provides education. So in 2007, we basically ran out of money. And so I was the only Westerner in the project. So I was on the board with this board meeting, and we said, look, we just can't open the school next year. It's a tragedy. And then we started talking, how can we get donations? And somebody said, well, we can't really get them in India. Anybody think we can go to the West and get them? And all eyes turned towards me, being the only Westerner. And I was a musician already, and I've been doing kirtan my whole life. So, and I'd been singing with another person at the ashram every night. And so I said, well, we can maybe go and do some concerts and try to raise money and sing. And they said, yeah. So I called some friends in Europe, and we arranged a tour. We put together a band, which is another person from the ashram and a boy from our school who plays the drum. And we just set off, and we thought, well, let's see. And it turned out to be hugely successful. And every year we would spend months during the summer break of the school, traveling and just doing concerts and classes and raising money for the school. And that's how I got thrown into the arena of being a professional musician from just having it as part of my spiritual practice. And later people started asking us to do classes too, because we're from an ashram. We have our guru's teachings. And my guru is Sri Anandamayi Ma. She was a great woman saint of India in the 20th spiritual character. I've written a book about her. Then people started asking us to do classes, and the head of our ashram, he said, yes, you have to teach. So then I got thrown into the arena of being a teacher. So I got the title Acharya from the ashram. Acharya means not someone who's kind of set themselves up as a teacher, but someone who has been empowered and commissioned to teach the teachings of the lineage of the ashram, the guru's teachings.
I'm speaking with Manga Anananda, and he will be in South Florida for two shows, one next Friday at the Yoga Source in Plantation, and then on Saturday at the Duncan Conference Center Chapel in Delray Beach. It sounds like not only did you not intend to come back to the United States, but you didn't intend to lead kirtans and teach classes either.
That's true. I was kind of not really against my will. I just kind of went with the flow, and this is what needed to be done, so I did it. I didn't have this aspiration.
What do you have more fun doing, the music or the lectures?
Oh, music. I mean, I love teaching also and talking with these, but I love the music. The music is so fun because it's so joyful. And I get to play with these great musicians. And it's not just simple chanting. I mean, it's simple, singable chanting, but we accompany it I play harmonium, which is a Indian keyboard. I usually have a guitarist with me and a tabla player. Tabla is the Indian percussion hand-played drum. And it's very beautiful music. And I get to be able to lead this and see people start to sing and get more and more joyful and get up and start to dance. And it's just it's spreading joy wherever we go. So it's a wonderful blessing to be able to do this. I feel so grateful to be able to do this.
Kirtan music is quite unique. Would it be accurate to say it's music for meditators?
Well, yes and no. It's music that facilitates meditation because it puts your mind in a very clear, calm state. It's also very spirited. Some of it is slower and more meditative. And I usually start with the slower and slowly build up, and at the end have everybody up dancing. Because it can also be very spirited and very joyful and just can't help but get up and dance. So it's meditative and it's healing. Like I say, it's kind of a win-win situation. Because one, you have the music. You have music. Music, any music, opens the heart. You know, just gives you joy, opens the heart, puts you on a different level. So we have the joy of music, and then we're not just singing any kind of, you know, idle words like, baby, baby, why'd you leave me, that type of thing. We're singing these wonderful, powerful sound formulas that were revealed to the ancient yogis of India. And we're singing these sound formulas, which are easy to sing, And the vibration of these sound formulas are so healing. They go into your heart and soul and just like wake up your mind and make you very feel very peaceful and joyful. So it's like a, like I said, you have both the opening of music and then you're singing these wonderful sound formulas. This is why it's so popular. And also it's so participatory. It's not, we say concert, but it's not really a concert. A kirtan is a worshipful, participatory community event. And that's why people like it, because you sing back and you sing along. If you can't sing, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to be professional or even sound good. All you have to do is just make the noise.
Are these songs old or new? The forms you say are old, but are the songs new?
The mantras we sing are eternal. They're neither new nor old. They exist forever in the sounding in the universe and in each person's heart. The different melodies we use, I've written a lot of them, and some of them are very traditional. Now, see, I sing within the Indian ragas. A raga is a scale of Indian classical Indian music. So I put my music in the kind of Indian raga, so it has more of an Eastern flair to it. The music is very traditional, and some is new, and some is old.
I'm speaking with Manga Anananda, who's going to be leading a kirtan concerts in South Florida next Friday and Saturday night. This is also a benefit, as you say, for an ashram in India?
Yes. In 2001, I helped start the school in central India at my guru's ashram, the place called Omkareshwar in Madhya Pradesh, in central India. We've run this school, and it's got 500 students. It goes all the way through high school. We get the kids scholarships in college. So when I go back now, I see some of these kids who grew up with this, who were literally beggars, who were literally little dirty urchins who were neglected, who had no possibility of progressing in their life. Now they're studying. They're these bright, educated young people, so full of talent and intelligence. And now they're studying in college, getting jobs. And we started about 5 years ago, we started a second project a little further downriver, because we're on the edge of a river, in a different village. And now that project is also coming along very beautifully. Now we have about 250 kids there and 50 boys in a hostel, both boys and girls in the school. We have a nonprofit we founded in America to help support the school called Children of Ma. Those are the people who brought me to Florida, who are bringing me to Florida to do this concert. And 100% of the money, of the raised funds we raise, will go to the school, to help the school, to pay the teachers' salaries, to get food, because it's a free school for very, very poor children. So they get food, they get books, they get uniforms, all the classes free. So we have to support that with our help.
I see you can get more information at the website, childrenofma.org. I have one more question for you. You said you used to live in India, but now you live in California. Why did you make the permanent move?
The old thing, love struck. I'd been living in ashrams. I'd never been married. I never even had a real relationship. I'd been living a very dedicated life, like a monastic life, you could say, in ashrams all my life. And I was on tour in America. I toured Europe, and I got invited to come to America. So every year I would come to America. My first concert in San Francisco, I met this wonderful, beautiful lady. And we just kind of became friends. And every time I would come to California, we spent some time together. Then she came to India a couple times and started school. And we realized, I am like totally in love. What do I do about this? So with the blessing of my ashram, because they also wanted me to try to start something here in California for our lineage and our guru. So I came back to America and we started a small ashram, and I work here and we got married. So I'm married for the first time very happily. And continuing my spiritual life as I've been doing, but with a wonderful partner who also is very spiritual, who meditates with me, and so it's very beautiful sharing that.
Congratulations! Doesn't that go against the oath of celibacy, though?
Oh well, if you're a celibate living that life, you should do that. But with my teacher's permission, I even had her come to India one more time. We sat with him. And he gave us his blessing and gave us some instruction to do together. And so very openly and with his blessing, I just changed my external circumstances. In other words, some people are celibates, but they cheat and have, you know, girlfriends and the size and all this. I wasn't going to do that. I very openly, clearly said, this is what I would like to do. Got the blessing, and with a full open announcement, public and everything, I said, okay, now I'm married. And this is also fine in our lineage. It's just you don't switch the two. You don't be a celibate and sneak on the side. But if you're openly, you know, with a partner, that's also fine.
Well, again, congratulations. And you're going to be in concert next Friday and Saturday. On the phone with me now is Manga.
Yeah, it's May 17th and May 18th.
Right? May 17th and 18th. 17th at the Yoga Source in Plantation. That starts at 7 p.m. at 6601 Northwest 14th Street in Plantation. And May 18th is the Duncan Conference Center Chapel in Delray Beach, 15820 South Military Trail. More information could be got at childrenofma.org. Florida Kirtan would be the other information. Manga Anananda, thank you so much.
Well, I would just like to personally invite people to come and experience Kirtan. I think Kirtan's also, there'll be people who are familiar with it, who love it also. You please come. If you've never experienced Kirtan, don't think of any previous experience. You just come. It's a very natural, very organic experience where you just sing or you don't sing. You know, it's like there's no rules. You just have a good time. So come and enjoy it. Enjoy it and experience something new.
Great. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Hara Hara Bole, Namah Shivaya.
Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Hara Hara Bole, Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Hara Hara Bole, Namah Shivaya. Rameshwaraya Shiva.